Open up any Lego box, and you're going to find a variety of shapes, colors, and sizes. I mean, you got some Legos that are two pegs, four pegs, eight pegs, red, yellow, green, blue, black. Some are flat, some are rectangular, some are round, square, thick, thin, long. There's an assortment of Lego pieces. But there's one thing that these Lego pieces are designed to do, only one job. To do what? To connect. Now, here's what's, I didn't do this math because I have people who can do that for me. You can take these two bricks that have eight pegs in them each, and there are, you can have 24 different combinations of connections. I can add a third one, and I can have over 1,000 ways of combinations of connection. Now, I can double this and use six of these. Ed, you're mathematically computing right now, are you not? You probably are. I can take six of these, and there's 102 million different combinations of connection. I add eight, it's virtually endless. And what can I do with these Legos of different sizes and different shapes? Man, I can do this. I can build a city. Pretty cool. I can build the Houston Polar Express, because that's what it looks like, right? A volcano. Or a mine shaft with, you know, the digging tools and everything else. I can build a Ferris wheel. I can build London Bridges falling down. Oh, I can go Star Wars on you. Or I can even go Batman. The combinations of using these simple blocks, these bricks, are endless. And regardless of the size, the shape, the color, again, these Lego pieces are designed to do one thing, to connect. You know, we started a sermon series 3 weeks ago called I Love My Church. Why? For me, during Hurricane Harvey, I've experienced something here at Gloria Day that has been profound for me. And I've watched how Gloria Day, I heard this in the past, how Gloria Day shines in a crisis, but I've got the experience now firsthand. And what have I experienced? I've experienced my church loving people, serving others, and connecting in community. The fact that it was a high value for me to see if I could connect with 100% of the congregation immediately after the hurricane came through here and we had people on the phone, I realized that we were already late to the game as a staff, because so many of you in your small groups, in your connections here at Gloria Day, have already made those connections. Folks dropped everything. They were serving others. There were rescues going on. And you've been connected in community in these last 4.5 weeks to folks who were members and folks who were outside of this family, this faith family. Neighbors served neighbors. Members helped strangers. People have literally taken off work to serve others. And as I shared the first week of this series, my love for you, for Gloria Day, has grown exponentially. Because this is not only a church that is centered on God's grace and truth, the cross is central to everything that we do. And we live the Bible and its authority for our lives, but with the application for how we live out Monday through Saturday. But what I saw and am experiencing still And Gloria Day, stepping up in the midst of crisis, has been phenomenal. I was able to be here last weekend. I was actually speaking at a dinner in St. Louis with all like the muckety-mucks of our national church body. And the president of our church body and all the district presidents were there, and some other folks and some just high-up folks. And it was so awesome for me to be able to stand in front of them, and whether this is right or wrong, to brag about y'all. To brag about Gloria Day. And what some of our partner churches have been doing in this area. You see, what I've experienced is Gloria Day living out her mission, not only of helping one another live life with Jesus every day, but Gloria Day has been about these last 5 weeks helping more people live life with Jesus every day. And so we started this sermon series, Why I Love My Church. You know, the first we talked about, we love people. And we looked at the Bible, and what does God say about loving others, loving people? Last week, Pastor Brian shared with us from God's Word what it means to serve, what it means to serve others as the hands and feet of Jesus. That administering God's grace in its various forms, mucking out a house, following up with care, connecting with people who are so lost and forlorn, who are struggling. And so this week, I want to share with you what it means to connect in community. So I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Now, I began the series with this section of Scripture. I'm going to end this series with a section of Scripture very intentionally. Mark chapter 12. If you're using the Bible in front of you, it's on page 848. And I want to give you the context here. Maybe you know this story and you've heard the story. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. I want you to take out your Bible. And I want you to look in context of what it means to connect in community. So here's Jesus. He's talking with like the church folks, the religious leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. And this scribe comes up, verse 28, and he hears Jesus, or they're all disputing with one another, and seeing that Jesus was answering them well, it was like there was this, whatever, dog and pony show. And so the guy goes, okay, I'll stump him, watch this. He said, of all the 613 commandments in the Old Testament, the Levitical law, the Ten Commandments, all the regulations, the do's and the don't touch, don't taste, don't see, don't whatever, what commandment is the most important of all? And what does Jesus say in verse 29? This is the most important stuff to hear, guys. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Verse 30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbors yourself. And so for me, this is a great definition of the Lego principle. The great commandment says we are to connect to God and then to one another. But here's what, for me, is even more profound as we look at the connections made in community. You see, God loves you with an unconditional love. In spite of your faults, failures, my faults, my failures, in spite of all your sin, in spite of all the stuff that you should have done, you didn't do, or the things you said you shouldn't have said, God makes the first move. And he makes a connection with us, his creation, by sending his own son, Jesus Christ, to die our death, to suffer the punishment for our sins. And as Isaiah 53 tells us, by his stripes or by his wounds, by his death, we are healed. And in his life, we now can live. And because he made the first move to us, to connect to us, he restored that broken relationship between the Creator and creation, connecting to us so that we can then connect back to him and connect with one another. Love God with all you got. Love your neighbors yourself. And remember, we talk about what that means. Remember the night that Jesus, before he was crucified, he's in the upper room with the disciples celebrating the Passover for the last time. And there he is, the disciples washing their feet to the same guys who are going to deny him, betray him, and desert him, leaving him in his time of need, walking away. There he is washing their feet. And at the end of that evening, he tells them, I want you all to do this. I want you to love one another as I have loved you. What's interesting is he's given these followers of Jesus, these disciples, us, the standard by which we are to measure that kind of love. You see, Jesus is essentially saying, I left the splendors of heaven to connect to you so that you may have life in me. I gave it up all because I love you and I care about you and I want to connect with you in such a profound way that means life and salvation to all who believe in me. I wash your feet on my way to death. And when you deny me and betray me, I'm going to love you with an everlasting love. My interest is not in myself, but in you. There's the standard. As I have loved you, Jesus says, go love others. Connecting to God, connecting to one another. And so I want to talk to you this morning about three key principles of what it means to connect in community. First of all, we were created for connection. Again, these have one job, to connect. But the crazy thing is for us, as God's redeemed, we have so many technological advances. We have so many social networks. We have so many opportunities through Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, whatever. We have Amazon Prime that now is taking over like the grocery world. And they can have a drone deliver something to you at the house. You never have to leave your house. Sociologists actually call that cocooning. Instead of going out and being around other people, we cocoon in our homes because we got TV, movies. You can sit there and gorge yourself on Game of Thrones. You can watch whatever videos on YouTube or Netflix. And you can hang out with somebody across the world playing Xbox or PlayStation. And groceries delivered to your home. I never have to leave. And so what we're experiencing is folks can be surrounded by people and be the loneliest people on earth. And we become uncomfortable with social interaction. It's amazing trying to, and this is not a slam, it's just their society. It's easier for kids to text than it is to pick up a phone. What do you mean call them? What? Hey, you want to mess with somebody? Walk into an elevator and just start talking to them. Because, you know, when you walk in the elevator, you just carry on conversations with everybody, right? Because, you know, push number six, and, you know, what do? It's awkward. So what do? You pull out your phone, act like you're important, you start scrolling through texts and emails, like, ooh, look at me. I don't have to talk to you now for 30 more seconds because I don't want to engage in small talk, and I really don't care. But we're alone. Surrounded by family, surrounded by friends, surrounded by many people, and we're not connecting. If you go back to the Garden of Eden, God created Adam in all the perfection. There was something or someone was missing. So God created Eve, and he brought her to Adam. Because if you look at Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a helper fit for him. You see, we are have a relational God who's created us as his relational people in his image. And so that Genesis 2:18 is not just about marriage. It's about connections. It's about being around other people. Because loneliness is often the soil into which many dysfunctional behaviors grow and flourish. Because when you're alone, you are ripe for spiritual attack. There's no accountability. No one to give you encouragement to do the right thing. No one to offer support. And so what do? We rush around, we fill our schedule with well-intentioned things, and we don't have time for one another. I mean, we isolate ourselves in times of grief. Guys do this great. We can figure it out, and we can do it on our own. We need one another. And as Lego bricks come in all shapes, sizes, and colors, what they have in common is they connect to do something greater than themselves. Now, I didn't know this little Lego trivia. Early Legos were only made to stack. And the ability to connect was a revolutionary change that set them apart from simple building blocks. But here's the deal. Not all Legos have equal capacity. But all are still made to connect. You can connect on top, on bottom, together. And the analogy, what I see here, it's amazing what happens when the body of Christ connects and the amazing things that happen through you. So a second key principle, life works better when you're connected. Take out your Lego piece if you got one. In of itself, that Lego piece isn't that big a deal. It's not very functional because there's no one else to connect to. Can you imagine if we could take all three services and we could somehow figure out how to put everybody together and build some really cool structure? We're created for connection. That Lego only works because there's someone else to connect to. So when I connect with others, work is more successful when it's shared. Life is safer when you have someone to pick you up and defend you. Life is more enjoyable. But here's what happens, though. To connect with others requires vulnerability. It says I have to open up to somebody else. It's been amazing to me how many people that I've talked to, maybe you've experienced this also, that you want to go help them clean out their house. And they say, yeah, I know my house has been underwater for like 3 days, and yes, I know I got to remove all the sheetrock, and yes, there's water floating around and stuff stinks, but I got this on my own. I'm good. I have to be vulnerable because I'm now inviting people that I worship with or hang out with into my home and see my stuff and find out if I'm a pack rat, a hoarder, or whatever. They're going to go through my stuff. And, oh, by the way, it's already all exposed on the side of the curb anyway. But it requires me to allow the community connection to happen. To let people in. To go through your stuff. And offer help. We are an independent, proud people. And we'll help others. It's hard for us to receive that kind of help. The third thing is, when I connect in community, I grow in my faith and love for Jesus. What do I mean by that? I'd love for you to turn in Acts chapter 2. This is kind of foundational for me. When I actually learned this here at Gloria Day around 2002. Pastor Kay taught this. And for me, Acts 2, verse 42, is a foundational principle of how the church should act. And what a church should be. Now, remember the context. Pentecost just happened, and Peter preached this incredible sermon, and 3,000 new converts were added to the church that day. It was like a great day. Ooh, yeah. But it's a very scary day, too, because now these 11 guys have got a shepherd and pastor 3,000 people. So what are they going to do? Look at verse 42. It's actually on page 910. Or 9-11, I'm sorry. Verse 42. And this early church did what? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. What's the key word? Devotion. You see, they were purposeful in their connections. They didn't have time for it. They made time for it. It became a priority in everything they did. And they became a tight group. Their existence depended upon it. These are folks who are about ready to endure persecution, who are going to be ostracized from the established religious order. They're not financially independent. And to make matters worse, they have nothing in common. They're coming from different cultures, dialects, regions of the world, all for Pentecost, and they got to connect to one another. But by God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, they were gathered united in a confession of Christ, connected to God himself through the waters of baptism. And what did they do? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. They learned what they saw from Jesus and put it into practice. And then you look at verse 43, what happened? Awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Man, God was showing up. Verse 44, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Man, I have seen that happen these last 5 weeks. You have opened up your pocketbooks. You have opened up your calendar. You have served those in need. There was $35,000 collected or received the first Sunday after the hurricane by this congregation. As to those who had need. And it's being given out as we speak. Verse 46, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the favor of all the people. What were they doing? They were connecting in community. And the result, look at verse 47. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And what God did for the first century church, he promises to do for us today in the 21st century. I had the privilege of being in a house on Friday, and I was the third crew to be in there in a house that we were working on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I love the fact that I was there on Friday because we got to finish it. But it wouldn't have happened if we wouldn't have the crews there on Wednesday and Thursday. But here's what's so amazing to me. I heard other stories also. This individual is living in this, well, he can't live in his house. He's in a tent outside his house. It's uninhabitable. And he shared, I was trying to do this all by myself. I ran out of gas. I can't do it any longer. And then you church people show up. I love that, you church people. He said, you really know what people are made of in times of crisis. Because there's a lot of people who said they were going to come help. No one did. But you church people did. And he said, you showed up without any press. You showed up with any money needed from us. You just showed up and you started working. And I love this too. He said, and some of the guys that came here, they like hit their hands with a hammer and they didn't say bad words. It's crazy. You know, I know we're busy. I know we got a lot going on. Their lives are filled with so much stuff. But we have been designed to connect to one another in community. And it requires vulnerability. It requires us to trust one another. I got to tell you, we have an opportunity. October 11 and 12, it's a Wednesday, Thursday. Pastor Lonnie is organizing a taste of small groups. And here's the opportunity. Maybe a little secret. Maybe you don't like your small group right now. And Maybe you tried it before. Maybe I was in it and you didn't like me, the fact that I was in it or something. I don't know. Or maybe you didn't know how to connect to a small group. There's going to be two nights, same identical material that night, those nights, that Pastor Lonnie's going to give you a taste of what a small group is and what it could become. And we'd love for you to come those evenings and connect and learn what a small group could be for you. Because again, what was amazing to me in this crisis was the small groups coming together and serving one another. And then serving their neighbors. I love my church. And what's happened these last 4.5 weeks, I don't want it to stop, y'all. I want my church to continue to love people. I want my church to serve others. And I want my church to connect in community so that more people can experience the grace and find life in Jesus every day. That's my prayer, y'all. Let's do this together. To God alone be the glory. Amen.